Begin this message. We've been reading through this this same passage over the last few weeks as we have been leading up to Christmas, looking at the different themes that John draws out for us. But to begin this message, I just wanted to show a brief video. Now, the guy in the video has an accent that is a little unfamiliar to us, and our garden is exploding with life and with growth and with overgrowth. And frankly, weeds. The buds are budding, the shoots are shooting, the flowers are flowering, and there's mess everywhere. And it's been really lovely. It's been really lovely to be out in the cool of the evening trying to make a dent in some of the mess in our garden. On December 1, our family put up the Christmas tree. We dusted off the boxes, pulled them out of the shed, got the tree and the decorations and pulled them all out. And all I can say is when you get three young children and a box of tinsel and a fake tree and a big box full of baubles, there is going to be mess. There was mess. We vacuumed the floor beforehand. We vacuumed the floor afterward. I'm pretty sure we might have even vacuumed in the middle of the whole process. And for several hours, our house was a big, glorious, jumbled tangle of tinsel and lights and baubles and children. We had a Christmas party with some friends, and it was lovely. And it was a mess. It was a mess. Music playing, people everywhere, every available chair or chair-like object was pressed into service. The night finished with dishes and board games and musical instruments strewn everywhere. It was great, a big, glorious mess. The dishwasher got packed and emptied and run and packed and emptied and run and rerun three times. And at last, when I lay down, I put my head on the pillow and I went, ah, and I remembered that pork crackling that I had made and stuck in the oven. I've left the pork crackling in the oven. So Azealia and I got back up and we sat in the glorious mess and had a snack, and it was great. Mess. Sitting among the glorious tangle of the Christmas mess. Christmas is a time for mess. Probably most of us might at some point today find ourselves lying around in all the wrapping paper in a food-induced catatonic state, because it's a time for mess. But not all the mess is a sign of life and joy and feasting, is it? We know that. Sometimes Christmas brings out the mess of broken, sinful people living with broken, sinful people. Sometimes family events are endured rather than enjoyed. We find the relational landmines and the thinly veiled grudges that have been buried just below the surface. And stress can lead to all sorts of anxiety and all sorts of depression. For some, this time of year is actually just plain lonely. It's just a lonely time. Last week, The Guardian reported what has become a regular feature of the Christmas news cycle. You see the headline every year: charities are braced for vast numbers of requests for assistance this holiday. Quote, on Friday, the Salvos, the Salvation Army, will release the findings of a poll that suggests that 15.5% of Australian adults are likely to contact a charity for help with basic necessities such as food, power, and other bills this Christmas. 15%. Same poll found that 10% of people suffered with social isolation at this time of year, 25% experienced anxiety, and 40% said that Christmas was the most stressful time of the year. So if that's how you're feeling, if you get to this day and that's how it is for you, you're certainly not alone. You're certainly not alone. Christmas is a time for mess. Brittany Hope has a beautiful Christmas song. You can check it out later. It's called Emmanuel. And she reflects on it well. This season's glow and cheer casts sorrow's shadow near. A biting word, a vacant stare, a broken vow, an empty chair. Can God be with us here? Can God be with us here? It's one of the questions that runs through the Bible. Could God be with us here? The Bible opens with a picture of the Creator God and his human creations living together in harmony, living together in peace, living together in intimacy. That's how the picture opens. God and his creatures walking together in the cool of the evening in the garden. But through human rebellion, through rejection of God, sin enters like a thunderclap and tears, rips through creation, severing the harmony, severing the peace, severing the intimacy. And in the Bible we read, page after page, chapter after chapter, book after book, the Bible rings down through century after century of history with hopes and fears, renewal and decline, promises and prophecies, and wave upon wave of God's gracious patience. And still the question, could God be with us here? Could God be with us here in the mess? Hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah saw the promise. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What could it mean that a child could be God with us? Could God really be with us here? In this mess, could God be with us here? Anyone who reads the Christmas story in the Gospels soon has to ask the question, can God really be with us here? With a people living under political oppression in Rome, could God be with us here? In the shepherds sleeping rough with the sheep, could God be with us here? In the long journey of the foreign magi bringing gifts, could God be with us here? In a baby laid in a feeding trough because there is no room, could God be with us here? With political despots violently clinging to power, could God be with us here? With a man and a woman fleeing for their lives, seeking refuge in another country, could God be with us here? In the womb of a young woman, a baby kicking with life, could God be with us here? And into the very realistic and very messy world of first century Palestine, we get the answer. Yes, God is with us here. Emmanuel, God with us, in a baby, lying in a feeding trough, God is with us here. In John's account of the life of Jesus, he tells the remarkable, utterly surprising, cosmos-altering news that in the birth of Jesus, the ancient promise came true. Verse 14, you can see it right there. The Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the Word through whom all things were made, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word, eternal God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Right here, right in the middle of the mess, the Saviour is born. That's the miracle of incarnation, the eternal, pre-existent, glorious Word became flesh. We sung it earlier. Come to earth to taste our sadness. He whose glories knew no end, by his life he brings us gladness, our Redeemer, Shepherd, Friend, leaving riches without number, born within a cattle stall. This the everlasting wonder, Christ is born, the Lord of all. Emmanuel, God with us, and he comes to make his dwelling among us. Do you see what that means? It means that he wants to live with us. He wants to live with us right here in the mess. The promise of Christmas is the promise of present comfort and grace. No matter the mess, no matter the mistakes, Jesus has come into that mess to rescue and to redeem and to restore. He is with us to give comfort and grace and forgiveness for the lonely and broken, for the poor and oppressed, for the weary and tempted, for the anxious and stressed. Emmanuel, God is with us right here in the mess with his comfort and grace. Emmanuel, God is with us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The coming of Jesus brings with it the wonderful promise of restoration. The promise of Christmas is of future hope. He comes to bring us home. He came to make his dwelling among us, and he came to bring us home. Di Woolridge in the video that we just listened to said it beautifully. For all the mistakes, all the messiness of life and what that creates, all the stuff in this world that just doesn't sit right, there was a reason he was born on that first Christmas night. He was born in the mess to make the wrong right. God's purpose in sending his son is no less than the redemption, the reconciliation, the restoration of humanity. Indeed, the restoration of all of creation that sin has left marred and broken. He came to dwell among us, to make a home with us. Have you ever noticed how many Christmas songs sing about home? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, most obvious, I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. How many Christmas songs? You turn on the radio this time of year, and how many Christmas songs have that same theme? Being home, coming home, missing home. Christmas seems to awaken us a longing for home, doesn't it? At its best, those Christmas songs point us to the joy and the warmth of human community. They tell us of that deep longing to be loved, to be known, to be in relationship. Can I suggest that they echo a much deeper longing to be loved and to be known and to be intimate and in relationship with our God, with our Creator? That's the future hope of Christmas. Because Jesus has come, because he has made his dwelling among us, he has made a way for us to be at home with God again. What he did, coming, living, sharing our sorrow, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, ascending back to heaven, has made a way for us to be at home with God again. That's the promise of the Son of God coming to this world. And he has gone to prepare a place for us. Just as the Bible opens with a picture of the Creator God living in harmony and peace and intimacy with humanity, it closes with another picture of restoration. In the final book of the Bible, John sees a vision. And he says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people.'" God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is where creation is heading. That is where history is heading. That is what it means for Jesus to come that first Christmas night, that all of history and creation is in on a trajectory heading for that home when God at last will dwell with his people once more. Because Jesus was born that first Christmas night, because he came to rescue and he came to redeem us from our sin, there is the promise that he will bring us home. A home full of harmony, a home full of joy, a home full of intimacy where at last God's dwelling place is among the people, where there is no more curse of sin, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, where he will wipe every tear from our eyes, where the only mess is the glorious mess of the victory feast of Jesus, where there is laughter and joy and celebration forevermore. So we pray it and we sing it. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. That's why he came. That's why he came and that's why he comes. Would you pray with me? What a wonder. What an inconceivable, all-surpassing wonder that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That promise of Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we pray that we would know your comfort and your presence right here in the middle of our mess. No matter what our lives are like at the moment, that you would dwell with us in the mess, bringing your comfort, bringing your grace, bringing your restoration. And I pray that you would lift our hearts with joy at that hope, that you go to prepare a place for us, you go to make a home with us, and that we will share the victory feast of the Lamb. Lord, fill our hearts with this joy, fill our hearts with this promise. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.